Part A.
Well, we are back in teleology, the study of spiritual growth, maturity, taken from a concept of Hebrews 5:14, solid food, or out of the old King James, you remember, meat. Solid food is for the mature, the teleos, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That's where that concept comes from. And we have been in a series of different doctrines on Sunday. I believe these doctrines are key to the Christian faith. I believe that once you have these doctrines, you'll be able to make a lot of sense out of the Bible and even your own personal life in dealing with stress and other issues that might be prevalent in your life. If you'll open your Bibles to Colossians, we are back to the Christian faith. Paul makes an interesting statement in Colossians. Once you get Colossians, the second chapter, I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians. Hold your place in Colossians, second chapter. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Go to the fourth chapter. Al, when he did his introduction, must be having some problems with his health or something. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, I want, this is for Al. This verse is for you. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, there is in a believer's life a perpetual fountain of youth. Only believers. And I find great encouragement in that, and that fountain of youth is in you at whatever age. Doesn't matter if you're 15 and you think you're in the fountain of youth because of the outside of your body. The truth of the matter, there is a fountain of youth within every believer's life, and it's discussed by Paul in 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, verse 16, therefore do not lose heart. But though our outer man is aging, that's what decaying is, yet our inner man, that is that born again you, that inner man is being renewed day by day. Momentary flight of light afflictions is producing an eternal weight of glory. That's what Al was talking about, that next life. Far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, it takes me to my subject of faith. That's taken right out of Hebrews 11, chapter, verse 1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. There is in every believer's life, because of eternal life, because of Zoe life, the life of God in us, there is a fountain of eternal youth in the person of Jesus Christ. Don't get discouraged by what's going on in your body. That's just a normal aging process because we live in this world. It came from this world. It will stay in this world. But what is wonderful is the real fountain of youth is found in the person of Jesus Christ. It is eternal life. And in that inner man is renewed and developed spiritually. It is the fountain of youth. Well, we're in Colossians, the second chapter. You know, when people look at you, we talked about this the other day in our School of Biblical Theology. Jesus, and this is about eternal life, this eternal fountain of youth that's within you in the person of eternal life or in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that when You know, we talk about skin to skin. You know, we're just skin deep. You know, all, people say that, don't they? But it is true. And Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he's talking about skin. If you see me, in the inner man will show you God. The outer man will show you Jesus, but the inner man will show you God. The outer man in the Christian life, the outer man will show you Ron Edema, but the inner man will show you Jesus Christ. And if you see Jesus Christ, you've seen God. That's Fountain Youth. Well, it's good to hear. So, some type of business is still going on in America. I know I'm a weird guy, but see, I like that sound. I'd rather have that sound all day long than crickets. I ain't that strange. I know. I came from crickets. I couldn't wait to leave the crickets and get to the big city, and I've been happy ever since. Colossians, the second chapter, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And now the next verse tells us that this is faith, and it tells us how faith is developed, how we go from receiving to walking. You receive Christ by faith and you walk by faith. But there's a big difference between believing faith and growing faith. There is a huge difference between the faith that brings you into the Christian life and the faith that develops it. And he talks about this whole development that occurs between believing and walking. And he tells you that in verse 7. He says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. So there's a process of faith. The faith that believes the gospel puts you into the capacity or the system in which you can walk by faith, and that's the dynamics of the Christian life. The dynamics of the Christian life is not just believing to receive, but by walking in what you've received. And the way you do it, he says, is there is a system that has to be developed. He calls it being firmly rooted. You know what firmly rooted is? It means it's not easily torn up, it's not easily destroyed. Firmly rooted. You know, when you read the parable of the sower, and if their roots weren't deep and secure, then it didn't develop. Firmly, and so that's the idea, firmly rooted and now being built up in him. Well, last time we talked about the Christian faith, and we said that faith, I mean, God really God created us. So one of the interesting things when you study the Bible, you see why he created us, how he created us, the mechanics of this creative power. That's the amazing thing about the Bible. So one of the things to me that's interesting about this is that God built within us faith, a faith system. It is common in all people. And it's because the faith system is so important to the spiritual realm, it is important to the human realm. Because we've been made in the image according to the likeness of God, Salim Demuth. That's the Hebrew. Salim Demuth. We've been created in the image according to the likeness of God. And part of that system is that it operates off from a faith base. Because faith is what brings you to grace. And that's what brings this whole thing together in your soul. You've been made in the image according to the likeness of God. And faith, look, for example, It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. So when we activate our faith, for example, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we believe that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and raised from the dead. When we activate that faith, when we believe that object, faith has always got to have an object. Look, faith in what? Right? Faith always has to have an object. When you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and raised from the dead, the issue is salvation. When you believe that, when faith activates, when faith believes that, grace does it. And the subject is salvation. And so there is man has the capability because of belief system. Listen, there is a desire in all of mankind to believe something. Now the devil knows that. You're either going to believe the truth or a lie. And he runs a scam on everybody, believers and unbelievers. He runs them because there is a need within man to believe something. When a person loses faith, he will fall into such depths of his soul in despair. Because off from faith, all systems develop hope, for example. So faith is an enormous thing. And the world, there are two systems that work faith. There's the world system that tells you faith in what. There is the divine system that tells you faith in what. Now, when you get a good look at these two systems, you'll see that they're in opposition to one another. For example, the world system would say, on the word salvation, they would say that you can believe there are many roads to God. And just find one that you're comfortable with, and that will be good. There is another one over here in Christianity that says there is only one road. There are not many. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no man can come to God the Father except through him. They would argue that the world would argue that's a very narrow view, and what are you going to do with that religious Jew and that religious one, and. They just run that whole gamut. What kind of a person are you? Isn't believing in God enough? If you believe in God, a good moral person, what more could you want? Well, that's very good for society, but it's not. It has nothing to do with the spiritual realm. It is good for society, unless they're terrorists. But it's good, normally good for society. And you say, well, why would you? You go like, well, because the issue is religion. The religion talks about getting you with God, but can't do it. They talk a good game, but they can't deliver. Because Jesus said, the only way to the Father is through me. So here's the opposition. Either you believe this, or you believe this, because you can't believe them both. Can't believe them both. If the purpose is to get to God, go to heaven, yada, yada, can't do it. According to that. Then the world says, well, that's a very narrow view. And listen, that's just the beginning of opposition. From there, we just are all over the place. So there are definitely two systems. I mean, Christianity, if you study the world religions and study Christianity, we are light years apart. We are light years apart. And we always have been. So there is a worldview. Now this worldview is all over subjects. I just mentioned salvation, but you could mention anything. You could take history, Kenny. World has a. If the world system of history, They're always rewriting it, telling what they want. They're always slanting it, yada, yada, yada. There is a divine view of history. There's a divine view of history. And they are worlds apart. I'll give you a good example. The world will never go back in their history book, even if you could archaeologize it, they would never... I don't know if that's a word. I heard it in my head first, and it sounded good. Listen, they're not going to run history. They're only going to... Listen, historians only... ancient historians, by that I mean they study ancient history, will never go past the post-diluvian period. They never go past it. Never go past it. There is a whole new civilization, and therefore when they stop there and they're not willing to look at it because they got to go to the Bible to get it, it's the only book. They ain't no other book to get it. They don't want to go to the Bible as a resource. They'll go to anybody else, but not the Bible. They won't go to the Bible for resources. Therefore, they stop here, and they make all kinds of guesses, both in science and archaeology and sociology and anthropology and history and everything else about this whole period over here. And we got some of the craziest beliefs because they won't step over here. They won't take that boat trip over here in the Word of God and study the Antediluvian civilization. There is this worldview about life, God, whatever, and there's a whole system of the way people think that's developed from it. Just like there is over here. The problem is the devil has stepped, he's got this world deal running. He's got this whole system. What he's trying to do is step over here into the Christian faith and get it all screwed up, and the way he does is by getting people into ignorance. He gets them out of the Word of God, and then he doesn't, if they do study the Bible, they don't study the Bible. Because that's the name of the game. And I'm about to give you 12 basic doctrines of the Christian faith that you must understand in order to put your life in order, because as a man believes in his heart, so he behaves. You've got to have these 12 doctrines. It looks like it's going to take a while to get them. I thought I'd go through this in 12 weeks. But then again, I just come and teach. All right? So there is a two-world system. And you can see this in 2 Corinthians, just a moment. Go to 2 Corinthians with me. In the 4th chapter, verse 4, it says, "In whose case the God of this world," or the God of this age, the God of this world, who is Satan, "has blinded the minds of the unbelieving ones." In other words, they've heard and don't believe. Unbelieving means you don't believe. It's not that you haven't heard. You don't believe what you heard. You understand? Is anybody home? 1 Corinthians 4th chapter, verse 4. "In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving." What minds does he blind? The unbelieving ones who heard. You know what's the parable of the sower in Matthew 13? "Blinded the minds of unbelieving ones, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." See, that's warfare. That's the warfare we're in. So, he's got this system running over here. He's got this system running over here. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to mess with this system over here, like he did in the Garden of Eden with Eve and Adam. Okay? So, the reason that's important is because out of our beliefs come our behavior. And everybody has a belief. You ever met anybody that didn't have a belief? Huh? Should have grew up in my family. Boy, everybody had their opinion. We were not short of opinions. You can get an opinion. You don't for a penny. You don't. It's not even 2 cents worth. They'll give it to you for a penny. So Everybody, so, but listen, the point is, as a man believeth in his heart, out of our beliefs come our behavior, and a belief is a natural need. And that belief is going to come out of one of two sources. It's either going to come out of the world system or out of the divine system. Now, that's just the way it is. And listen, it started in the Garden of Eden with man in the original deal, and it's been running that way ever since. I mean, you can study it all the way through, and that's the pattern. And so when we come to Proverbs 23 and verse 7, he says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We go like, yeah. But it depends on what is the source, whether it's divine or human. Now listen, here's the problem. As a believer, you can have both. But you're only supposed to have one. Did Eve have two? Originally, she had one. All about God. God in the tree. God in the garden. You right? There was a buzz behind me, and it was a large buzz, so it didn't sound like a critter. And it's, somebody's left them. So we got that. All right? So it's possible for a believer to have the Word of God, have a divine system set up in their life, a structure where they believed and have that, and at the same time get hooked into a world viewpoint that stands in conflict with it. Agreed? And one of them's got to go. Because that conflict, first of all, it becomes a conflict within you. And one of those have got to go, because you're going to be torn up. Now, you'd be wise, according to Eve and Adam's testimony, to stay with the divine system. Because what happens after he hooks you into going against God, you will never, the road he will lead you down, the path he will lead you down, because he hoodwinked you, the trap that he has set for you, and the despair and everything that he will create, the havoc, chaos that he will create in your life, there is no way you would have ever envisioned it when you chose to believe something that stood in opposition to the plan of God. You think the prodigal son ever dreamed that he'd wind up in a pig pen, despaired of life, when he chose to take the money and run? Do you think he ever dreamed that? No, listen, he had visions of grandeur. But listen, the devil, as soon as he traps you, he treats you miserably. And the opposite is true about God. So it's an interesting structure that goes on. It's an interesting structure. And Romans, the 16th chapter, verse 18, tells us that the devil tries to deceive. Listen, let me tell you who deceives, so you make sure that you know who you are when he does it. He deceives the minds of the naive ones. Other translations refer to it as the simple-minded. Other people would call them idiots. They would say, that is the dumbest thing. What were you thinking? That's what we're talking about. How do you get to become that? I mean, how did Eve become naive? There's a breakdown in the faith cycle. She heard it. She heard the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. She heard it, and she believed it. And then she began to doubt it. She went from eat to touch and all kinds of things. The devil slipped in on her doubt, because when he engaged her in a conversation, he discovered doubt. He discovered doubt when she said touch. And he slid in on doubt because that's a naive mind. when her mind said touch, she should have said, no, 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 he did not say that. He said, don't eat. He slid in on doubt on her and got her to change the application. He got her to eat when she knew that the basic command was don't eat. Now, buddy, that's something, ain't it? That was a star pupil at Bible study. That was one of the things that the pastor would have said, I would have never believed that person would have ever went that way. And how did it happen? He deceived her mind because she got simple-minded. She got in conflict with the Word of God in her soul. She heard it, she believed it, then she doubted it and couldn't get it to application. And he come in here and changed her belief to go into a different diabolical way to the Word of God. He got her to eat. We call that system that she bought into, we call that old man cosmos diabolicus thinking today. We do it because of what she did. Now, when she did it, she didn't do it out of old man. She did a cosmos diabolicus that turned into old man. But she did cosmos diabolicus. She went the way of the devil and the way of her thinking. Cosmos, worldly, satanic thinking. And reason is it stands in opposition to the truth of the Word of God. Isn't the Word of God, listen to me, the Word of God is so simple. See the tree? Yeah. Do you see how that tree is different from all the other trees? Yes. Don't eat from it. Isn't that simple? By the time she got to eat from the tree, she was so screwed up in her head, it was unbelievable. She saw the tree was good for this and good for that, and oh, she had a desire for this and a desire for that, and you know, like, what? You understand? She, in her naive, because of deception, she built a world that was not true and behaved off from it in opposition to the Word of God. I see it every day of my life. And what the thing is to wake up, and how do you dismantle that? You got to put off old man cosmos diabolicus thinking and come back by the renewing of your mind to what is absolutely true, and to put into practice what you know the Word of God. Listen, she could have stopped that thing anytime she wanted to. She didn't have to eat. She could have stopped that baby in the midst of it. She could have done what the prodigal did. She could have come to the senses and turn that baby around. Listen, it's never too late to turn your life around. Never. The prodigal had hit the bottom of the bottom and came back. It's volitional. Listen, the grace of God will always let you out of the devil's trap. The grace of God will always let you out of the devil's trap. All you got to do is say a one out. And it goes like, well, just walk out the door then. It's not locked. You've always had the key. You've always had the key. Anybody had a key? You always had the key. This is very important stuff. Therefore, Paul says, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind to know what the will of God is, that it's good, acceptable, and perfect. Listen, when you're challenged over here, well, you know what the Bible says, but don't do it because you need to meet your needs and you need to do this and you need to, listen. What is the Word of God? Listen, it's not complicated. You say, what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says don't do it. I'm going to stay with the will of God in this, and I'm going to have Him show me, because He will show me, that choosing the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. He will show that to me. You're never going to be worse off for doing the will of God. But you are going to be worse off by not doing it, by going the way of the devil or the way of the world. Believe it or not, I'm at point two. Now I want to show you something. Very often, as I just mentioned, these two conflicts are in a believer's life. Their beliefs, conflicts of what we believe. I'm going to show you two cases. I just showed you Adam and Eve. Let me show you two cases. See, I'm talking about stumbling block Peter and doubting Thomas, right? We know both of them. All right, I want you to write here. Here's the first thing I want you to write down. Both of them, Peter and Thomas, had a universal need to believe something. They both had a universal need to believe something. That's true in all people. It's true. Every person in here has a universal need because you've been made in the image according to the likeness of God. That's why you have a desire. Once you get saved, newborn babes have a desire for what? The sincere of the Word of God, don't they? And we grow by the Word of God. So there is a universal need in all mankind. There's a universal need to believe something. And every person, you can see it in the Bible. You can see it in the prodigal son. You can see it in Adam and Eve. You can see it in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. They have a universal need to believe something. And that's true in everybody. That's why it's universal.
This concludes part A. Please select part B to continue.